Psalm 83, we've been taking a look here at the enemies of Israel, and let's go over there quickly and read that. It's been a while since we've read that, just reference that so everybody knows what our springboard is. Here, Brother Asaph writes this psalm. There are those that have made a threat and continue to do so against Israel, the nation of Israel. They say in verse number 4 of Psalm 83, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." And there's that still that attitude and thinking and way today. It's prevalent in the UN. It's prevalent in the world. And so it continues on. Brother Asaph lists some here in verses 6 through 8. The tabernacles of Edom, then the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarines, Gebal and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. We find ourselves in our study looking at this of Asher. It goes on here in this passage in verse number 12. They say in verse 12, "Who let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession." And so they know that they fight against God Almighty, the God of Israel. That's their desire. They made their threat in verse number 4. But Brother Asaph prays that the Lord might be glorified in it, that he might deliver the nation, and that he might be glorified also in all of that. He says in verse number 17, "Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." And so this is still a relevant thing today, And, of course, we know, and we'll look to take a look at here sometime about how the Lord's going to, all the nations of the world are going to be gathered against Israel in the end. And the whole world is going to become the enemy of Israel. But this was this has been our springboard and what we've been looking at. If you remember, I understand if you don't, but if you remember in our study of Assyria, Asher, as it's referred to there in Psalm 83, in our study in look-see at Assyria, if you remember back, Moses references that all the way back in the book of Genesis. And not that Assyria was on the other side of the flood, because it's not, being in the book of Genesis and early on. But he's making a reference about those things on the other side of the flood from the standpoint of where things stand now. And so he refers, even in Moses' day, Egypt being a great nation, that Assyria was a great nation then too. Well, something that I had not known and learned here recently is Genesis chapter 10, verse number 22. Just turn over here quickly. And it's really something how the Lord gives us the scripture the way that we need to have it. But you have to, when we read and when we look to study, we've got to pay attention. And here this is something that I had not seen before. It is so. In Genesis chapter 10, verse number 22, it tells here about the children of Shem. And I'd forgotten about this. Elam and Asher. And Arphaxad and Lud and Amram. Okay? And so it goes on. It's given the genealogies of Shem. We have one here named Asher. And that in and of itself might be enough to make us draw a conclusion or connection between the nation of Assyria. But we go back, and here in the midst of the lineage of Ham, in verse number 11, we see a reference here. Out of that land, so of what the land that he's speaking of, there near Babel and such, where Nimrod was at, out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. And so, if you look up through here, and to my looking of the descendants of Ham, there is not one named Asher, but it's talking about and just giving connection to the men, the people of this genealogy, and it's making a comment there regarding Asher, Shem's son, as it's believed. It's believed by scholars and historians alike, and he built and builded Nineveh. And that's what's key, because the chief city of the Assyrians is Nineveh. And so I thought that very interesting. There's some other things that are connected here. It's very possible that out of Arphaxad, which is one of the sons of Shem. I'm looking here. Arphaxad there, verse number 22, could be the origins from his lineage, could be the origin of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. And then out of Aram is believed by scholars and historians to be, from several different sources, to be the line of the Syrians, which are not the Assyrians. They're a different line. But just thought that was very, very interesting. And I didn't give a lick about history when I was a kid, but I sure like it now. And we can learn from history. All right. If you will, turn your Bibles this evening to 2 Kings chapter 20. We've been taking a look here, and there's so many accounts of the Lord using the nation of Assyria to deal with his nation of Israel. We're here in 2 Kings 20. It's in the time of Brother Hezekiah. He's king over Judah, the divided kingdom. In his reign, the kings of Israel and the nation, the divided kingdom of Israel, has gone out of existence. They've gone into captivity, and the Lord used the Assyrians to do that. And now Judah remains of old Israel, and Hezekiah is the king. He's pushed, he's made a push, and he's been dedicated to the things of the Lord in many ways more than those before him. And we found that. We studied about that. But we're going to see tonight, and just read here, and namely, mostly reading. I'll make a few comments. You know me, I can't help but comment some. It's just hard not to. But we're going to see about here, and what we can learn, I believe what we can learn about this, is the blessing of the Lord and the help of the Lord can bring complacency and can allow us to be built up in pride. And we don't need to do that. We need to always be thankful. We need to have our heads down and be busy for the work and the sake of the Lord. And thankful for His blessings always. And know where the good things, the blessed things, the easy things that we have, that they come from the Lord. As the psalmist declares, not unto us, O Lord, but unto Thy name be honor, glory, and praise. And that needs to always be our attitude. Our attitude never needs to be that we have arrived and that we have accomplished by our own purpose and way. It is our Lord that works in us and uses us and helps us. If there's any good thing at hand, it's because of our Lord. In 2 Kings 20, verse number 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And so he's come to a time, and look here, I trust you have your chart. We've got a few up here. If there's somebody that doesn't have a chart, maybe most of you have a chart handy. Anybody need a chart? You want a chart, Nathan? All right. You can see here, look at there on Hezekiah over the right-hand table. He's reigned 29 years. Okay, so that's his total reign, 29 years. So now he's sick unto death. Now, do you believe that he was sick unto death? He sure was. He was sick unto death right then. Listen to what happens. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, is there in our hearts a pullback on that, a other thought on that, because we know the end of the account? Or is that true? I tell you what, listen, brothers and sisters, that's true. That's true right then. He's going to die. He is going to die and not live. The Lord has not sent his prophet with a false prophecy. He's not. Then he, Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He's in pleading the Lord for what has been prophesied unto him by Brother Isaiah. He weeps before the Lord. He's begging the Lord to give him life. He is affected because he knows that what has been brought to him is indeed the truth. the wheat sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Is that true? It sure is. It sure is. Tell you what, we need to understand about our Lord that there is nothing that mankind can do to thwart our God and accomplish His ultimate purpose and ultimate plan in everything that has to do with the world. He's in control. He knows the beginning from the end. Yet you and I are never, in the greatness of the Lord, we are never called to be a fatalist people. Because you and I don't know the end. You and I, we just don't understand all what our Lord's doing. Really very little of it. But when we're faced with things, when we're faced with real things in our lives, indeed, as our brother was facing here, death by the command of the Lord, we need to pray unto our God and plead His mercy and His graciousness. You know what? God will not be thwarted by the wickedness of men. God will not be thwarted in what He's going to do by the mercy He bestows upon His people and upon folks. I know people and have known people that live in what I would call a fatalistic way in dealing with God. Did Hezekiah pray that God's will be done? He already heard what God's will was. He was going to die. But he entreated the Lord that the Lord would have mercy on him. And you know what? The Lord did. And the thing we hear, God never changes. And God does not change in His person and His attributes and all that. But I tell you what, our Lord deals with mankind in the way that He's created us. In this real, literal life and world in which we live. And He beseeches us to go to Him for the need, for the thanksgiving, for the praise, for the hurt, for the help that we need. So the brother prays specifically again, and we see it here again. And so Isaiah gets word from the Lord before he even got out of the court there, the middle court, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, verse 5, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, The God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and have seen thy tears. Was the Lord moved with his crying? He sure was. He was moved by that. He was touched by that. It's been asked in recent times by brethren we've had here and even myself, when's the last time we cried over anyone or anything to the Lord? This old world is cold. This old world is cold and mean and heartless. And we are to be a tender people. We are to be a people desirous of our Lord to be for His help and for Him to be glorified. I have seen thy tears. And he wasn't feigning it. He wasn't faking it. He was for real serious. It wasn't a put on, because the Lord can see right through an act. But I tell you what, he indeed can see the heart. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. You'll be strong enough in 3 days to be able to go and worship. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. You know what? Here Hezekiah got more than he asked for. I tell you what, the Lord, as the scripture says, he's got blessings and abundance that you and I can't even, we don't have enough capacity to be able to receive. But I tell you what, he is worthy to be worshipped. Brother Hezekiah worshipped the Lord in this. He did. He asked for what he desired. But he looked to the one, the only one that could help him with this thing. And so, even 15 years to his life, and he's going to be delivered out of the king of Assyria, which we saw that last week, about how the Lord dealt with that particular king of Assyria and killed him. And took him away from them, and he didn't lay the siege on the city. and the present king of Assyria would not be a trouble to him either. And I will defend this city for mine own sake, verse 6, there at the end, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I will go up into the house of the Lord the third day? What will be the token? What will be the sign of that? And Isaiah said, the sign shalt thou have, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees? Talking about the sun, casting the shadow on the sundial. Or back 10 degrees? Which do you want? So Hezekiah asked for a sign here, and Isaiah says the Lord will do it. The Lord will do that to confirm it. You and I, we don't need signs. We need to hear the word of the Lord. We've got the full counsel of God here in the word of God, the Old and New Testaments. We've got what Jesus has done, the Son of God has done for us in that. But in that day, the king asked for that, and the prophet said he will do it. Hezekiah answered and said, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees forward in the day. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. It happened right then. Hezekiah, I believe, watched it happen. And he has that confirmation that the Lord will do what he said he would do. And so we know from the total reign of Hezekiah of 29 years, this was at his 14th year. This was halfway into his reign. So we have a time marker for these things here in this passage. Verse number 12. At that time, here's a good name for you, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan. How would you like that to name your children your name plus keep on adding some stuff to it? I'm not that creative. The son of Baladan, king of Babylon. Okay, so here, this is a Babylonian king. What we're going to see as we deal with Assyria here and messages going forward, the impact and the effect upon Israel or Judah by Assyria is going to diminish. And here we see the entrance of this of Babylon. The Chaldeans, the Chaldees. They're going to be used by the Lord to deal with his nation. And so the king of Babylon sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor. You remember last time, I trust, that we saw when the Lord took care of the Assyrians and took them off to fight in another place and took them and destroyed the army that was there with the king. And then those that were there with Rabshakeh and his army, and the Lord slew 185,000 of them. I mean, it was just incredible in that night. And so then they went on home and kept on going home, and ultimately the king was killed by his sons. But after that time, all the nations round about brought presents to Hezekiah. They brought gifts. They knew the power of the Lord was there. They knew that the deliverance of the Lord, they had got word about how the Lord had defeated such, they would even be afraid. They would be happy at the threat of the Syrians being removed, or they would be afraid of Israel, of Judah. And so Hezekiah, in that, had been made very, very wealthy. And so these of Babylon come. And so they brought a present, and having heard that he had been ill. Verse 13, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices. These are what were already there, and the gifts brought by the nations, and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house, thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Hezekiah said, or Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. What would that word do to you? It wasn't wise for him to show what he had, was it? He was proud of it, it seems. We're going to read otherwise, I think, that tells us that and confirms that. And Brother Isaiah tells him that he has he's put a hope, he's put a care in all of this stuff, and the worst news that could be has been brought to Hezekiah. It's not going to be here. Moreover, of your sons, your grandsons, your great-grandsons, and you can take a look at the lineage in our chart there on the right of Judah after Hezekiah. He said they're going to be taken to Babylon. And they're not going to be allowed to have their families. And they're going to be there like trophies of the king of Babylon. I tell you what, I think that would cause me to weep, wouldn't it, you? And I'm told on one hand that I don't understand what's being said, but all I know is what I read, and in this I'm very disappointed in Brother Hezekiah, and not that I carry any weight, I'm not saying that, but the attitude here is just an attitude, I just don't understand it. The Lord having done for him what he's done. Then said Hezekiah, verse 19, unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? I understand that, yes, that is a good thing, but what about your children? I don't see a reaction for his children. Indeed, he was raised up in loud pride to come in and the deliverance of the Lord. And seemingly, rather than being humble and thankful before the Lord, even in pleading the Lord for the future and the things that have been declared by the Lord and what he had promised to do unto his nation, he was just thankful it was going to be okay in his day. It saddens me. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. I invite you to turn over here to 2 Chronicles. We want to read a portion of a chapter over here that is related to this. And some of the verbiage and wording is additional, in addition, and it gives us some insight unto this setting and this account. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we'll jump in here at verse number 24. In the passage here that parallels what we read over in 2 Kings. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 24, in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign, speaking of the Lord. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. It gives us some more insight about his attitude and his way, doesn't it? He was, when the Lord said 15 years, he's going to get 15 years, wasn't he? And it seems here that he was presumptuous against that 15 years. Started off so strong. Started off so dedicated. Started off so desirous of the Word and the way of the Lord. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Being without can be a ruination to us, as the one that writes in Proverbs declares, and having so much can be a ruination to a people too. And the Lord gives and the Lord works. But may we not forget our Lord. May we not forget Him. He rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. So here it's plainly declared. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. He started off so good. And his son's coming up, Manasseh. Talking about a wicked man. Manasseh was a wicked, wicked man. What did he learn from his dad? What did he see and learn from his dad? His heart was lifted up, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 26, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And so, evidently, the illness was related to that. But then afterwards, he was just not like he should have been. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasures for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields, for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the incense increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him sustenance very much. No doubt those cities that had been taken by the Assyrians, that maybe they were reclaimed. This same Hezekiah also stopped the other upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. He was greatly blessed of the Lord. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. Listen to these words. God left him. Our Lord backed off of him to try him. And you know, the Lord will do that to his people. He will try us. He will try his people. He will press us. He will bring and allow things to come upon us. Listen to what it says here. That he might know all that was in his heart. Our conscience shaped by the word of the Lord and the way of the Lord. Our lives and our dedication shaped by the good word of the Lord. God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers. They buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchers of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did honor him at his death. Did him honor at his death. And Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Brother Hezekiah, great blessings and things that certainly we can learn from our brother in every way. May the Lord help us that we hear this account. These things are written so that you and I, upon whom the ends of the world are come, might know how the Lord works, might know what the Lord expects, and might see about temptation and the effect that it can have upon us. And may we look to our Lord in everything. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. This hasn't been a message to you per se. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man some 2,000 years ago. and lived for 30 years perfectly without even the thought of sin. He knows everything about being a human. He is one. And then he gave himself on the cross of Calvary, willingly, ordained by God, that he would do so from before the foundation of the world. And it came to that time some 2,000 years ago where the Lord Jesus Christ turned himself over to the hands and to the hands of wicked men that represent us all. And they took him and they put him to death. Crucify him, they said. The most innocent, the most pure, the pure, the representation of God, God himself, God in the flesh, the light, the Word of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He gave himself willingly on that cross. Suffered there alone as God the Father turned his back on him and paid for his people's sins, paid for sinners' sins right there. And then when it was finished, he gave up his life. He died. He willingly entered into death. And 3 days and three nights later, as he had told his disciples, when I am risen, and you know what? 3 days and three nights later, he did raise from the dead. And he lives forevermore. You're here and you're not saved. He's the one you need. You need him. His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. For the forgiveness of your sins. For the substitute. The one, the only one that can die for another, and it matter. The Lord Jesus Christ. You need him. Repent. Repent before God of your sins and your iniquity. You've sinned against God. Repent of your sins before him and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for you. He's the way of salvation. It's not in a plan. It's not in a method. It's not in a number of steps. It's found in the God-man. You need him. We point you to him.